On this episode of The Jason Wright Show.
Really surprised because only about 6% of my followers are in New York City. I have tons like in London and other people just like you who just miss New York and they want to see things there or they want recommendations for when they're coming back. So I find that really interesting and I like having such a wide variety of people that I interact with.
So Simone Hanlon, the New York City muncher. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing so well. Thanks for coming on. All right. This is really fun because I have followed your content for so long now. I think when I started following you, this is just from memory. I think you had maybe less than 1,000 followers on Instagram. So that's how far back I go. And I want to tell you why. So as I mentioned before we got on, my wife and I, we are diehard lovers of the city. We love New York. That's kind of like our place. We have commandeered a bench in Central Park that we claim is our bench, regardless of what the little brass plate on it says.
You can buy one.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure I could. I'll be
saving. It's about $5,000.
Well, hey, you know, chump change.
I've looked into it.
Okay. Well, you know, actually, I'm glad you said it because I didn't know and I haven't taken it as far to look. I just figured, well, you know, it's probably out of reach, but $5,000 would probably almost be worthwhile for us because that's how much it means to us. And there's another thing that we love about the city, which is kind of, you know, New York is known as just an incredible food spot. And so, you know, there's food everywhere. And here's what I love about your content. It's like, okay, you're in New York City. You're going around to the most amazing places, you know, eating, you know, testing things and reporting on what you thought about it. And you happen to be an ultra marathoner. You're into health and wellness. So to me, you're just kind of like this whole cornucopia of all the things that I'm interested in. So I'm like, all right, on the here on the Jason Wright Show, where the motto is to improve always and always, you're like the perfect guest. So I'm so excited about this conversation.
Thank you. And you know what? I actually care so much about self-improvement and so many of the things that I do, you know, are geared toward that. And when we were talking before, you said, you know, I had about 1,000 followers. And at that time, when you first saw me, I was like going on, you know, I'd have a goal of I'm going to visit every single donut shop in every borough,
right?
And then go report back. And now it's more like, okay, today I feel like running to the Bronx, you know, where should I go there?
Right.
So there's a little bit less structure, but it's just as fun because I love trying new things. And then the other thing I would say, my friend yesterday was really surprised because only about 6% of my followers are in New York City. I have tons like in London and other people just like you who just miss New York and they want to see things there or they want recommendations for when they're coming back. So I find that really interesting and I like having such a wide variety of people that I interact
well,
with.
Well, that is a cool thing. I mean, like, so what you really hit upon, especially in this, and this is one of the things I talk about a lot on the podcast, is we're living in, put all of the kind of the nonsense aside from the pandemic to politics and all that, I think this is the most amazing time to be alive in the arc of the human existence. I think this is an amazing time to be alive. And a lot of that is because of things like what you have done. If you have an interest and a passion, you can actually turn it into, even if it's not a vocation full time, it can be something that really fuels your passions. And there's nothing like keeping you engaged and excited, like producing something that is meaningful to you in your life. And that's what you've done. So let's just kind of back up a little bit and tell me where this story where does it start? Did it start with donuts or marathons or, you know, and are you originally from New York? Just kind of,
it started with,
oh,
school.
There you go. Okay. So just kind of tell me how the evolution of this, the New York City muncher.
Okay. So, I went to school, I grew up on the West Coast and I went to school at Pratt in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
I studied jewelry for my undergrad degree, sculpture for my graduate degree. But even then I was doing a lot of conceptual art and, crazy things. And then you can fast, that's where I started because I grew up playing tennis. I work as a tennis instructor. But my tennis coach in college said, you need to run a little bit more. And his, you know, in his head, he's like sprinting, so you're faster on the court. But I started running right when I finished my undergrad degree, and a couple months later ran the Chicago Marathon. So I didn't do a lot of training leading up, but it made me fall in love with it. So I've been running marathons for almost 20 years. And I started doing ultras really soon after that. But okay, this is going to be, you know, you were talking before about ADD. This is, there's so many parts of this. But I went back to school and got a degree in nutrition. So I studied public health nutrition, actually, because I thought that it would be more helpful to get people, like, change the environment rather than a specific person's behavior, because that is so difficult, especially involving food or, you know, any habit that we have. So if you're in an environment where there's only water to drink, guess what's going to happen? And I found that really fascinating. I know that a lot of the food that I'm posting on my own page is not always the healthiest, but it's still fun. So I think, like, a mesh of all of these things together. So I've been in New York 21 years now. And I have always loved how, you know, the variety of food, the people that you meet. I can never imagine living anywhere else. So, you know, I like to take advantage of everything I possibly can. So we were talking a little bit before about the pandemic. I was still running around everywhere. Maybe businesses were closed, but, you know, it still gives you an opportunity to explore by yourself around no one. And, you know, there's just everything about the city is wonderful.
Yeah, well, I want to stop there for a minute, because that was something that was so encouraging, and kind of, it was, you became kind of like a little bit of a lifeline to the city during the time, because when everything shut down, you were, and it wasn't just that you were out saying, oh my gosh, look how empty things are. Oh my Lord, you know, New York City is, it's gone. You know, you were still doing your thing. You were running all over. You were finding places and saying, hey, this is what it looks like, in a very positive way. And that was one of the things that I thought was so fun about that time. Now, what gave you the idea? So you start out as an athlete, and then, God, and by the way, you do run a very long way. Holy cow. Oh my gosh. It's nuts, man. You'll post like how long or how far you went on the deal. I'm like, good Lord, that's a long way for a freaking amazing looking muffin, but wow.
I'm actually doing a 6-hour race this Saturday.
God, you're nuts. You're nuts. So what made you decide to pair the two, which, and by the way, let me ask you this, because you brought up a very James Clear type idea, an atomic habit idea, which is create the right environment that will lead to success. Do you keep any sweets in your house or any junk food in your house? Okay. All right.
Everything in moderation. Okay. That's actually a big thing that I learned at school, was if you're restrictive about the things that you have around, I mean, I know some people can't keep things because they can't, moderate it, but you should be able to eat anything, even, you know, just use moderation, use some control. But if you're going to restrict your diet, it's going to backfire and you're going to eat way more, and it's going to cause a detriment, like, to your mental and physical health. So I do think that everyone, you know, should be allowed some dessert or something that they enjoy. Doesn't necessarily have to be dessert. Right. But we should be allowed to have whatever.
Whenever you started putting together the content, did it just sort of happen that you were like, I'm going to go for a run and I'm going to look for the best donut shops. I'm going to report back, cause that might be kind of cool. Or did you stop to think, what would be something that's engaging that could, you know, possibly get people out and moving, and also get to showcase some really cool little eateries around the city and in the five boroughs? What was kind of the thought process in that regard?
Okay. So I saw an article in, I think, The Eater, of 36 best donut shops in New York City.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, I'm going to visit all of these, but I'm going to share these with people at my gym. So at the start, it wasn't, I'm going to run everywhere. It was, let me just go visit these. And then the people at my gym were thrilled because they get to try these donuts. because I didn't want to be like, okay, I'm going to go and buy, you know, half a dozen donuts and eat them all. Like, it's right. more fun to have a little party and share. Yeah. So it started there. Then the running, I really happened more during the pandemic, because we all need motivation. And I have a lot of internal motivation regarding running. But, you know, there's always those days where you feel tired and you need to do it anyway. So I was doing 100 mile weeks for 3 months. So, you know, that's an average of 14 miles a day. Oh. So some days, you know, you wake up and say, I don't really want to do this. But, you know, I could say, okay, I know that there's a donut shop open in Brooklyn. If I run there and back, it's going to be 12 miles. I only have to do a little bit more. You know, there's a carrot
I like it. Yeah,
that smart. I can go run to. And yeah. it really does work. And if it's the other nice part about the pandemic, when businesses, very few were opening or they were reopening, I felt like I could at least be helpful to let people know, you know, please go support this business. Right. You know, there's not a lot that's getting back to normal. So I felt like there were more than one reason, like I could go do this and it would be enjoyable.
Yeah. That's really smart. That's really smart. And, you know, that's one of the things I've tried to do. Like, so on my YouTube channel, I do a book review because I'm trying to become a more voracious reader. And I want to talk about some of the books you've got in the background. You know, you see back here, I'm building a library. I think
this is my son's room.
Oh, okay. God. Well, good for your son. He's crushing some books back there, man. But that's one of the things I did is like, so I wanted to read more and I started the YouTube channel to do book reviews. But so that would kind of like pull me in, and I've made this commitment on the channel, not like everybody's sitting there waiting, oh, Jason, are you about to read another book? Or, you know, are you gonna, you know, fail to read your 52? But for me personally, it gave me more incentive to like, okay, I've got to get through this book. I need to absorb it because I want to do the book review. And I do have a lot of fun talking about the book. So it's very smart. And so for the listener out there, like Simone has said, if you can kind of add your own carrot that is unique to you, which is not just, it's not something that somebody else has said, like, here, I will reward you with this, but you create your own. It does have almost a magical impact on making yourself do things that otherwise you may not. So I think there's a lot to that. And so let's just kind of stay there for a minute on your whole self-improvement journey. I mean, or is this like the main point of your focus now? Because I know you're creating fun content, cool content, but what are you doing on a day-to-day basis as far as improving you? And maybe, you know, are you sharing that with others? Are you working with people? What does that look like?
I don't even know where to start. I do think that visualization is very important. Mm-hmm. So every day I do that. I think I started doing that pretty young because playing tennis, I had a good coach who talked about it. And so even before you play out a point, you know, you're visualizing what your serve is going to look like. You have a positive attitude going into it. You know, you want to win that point. In racing, I will go over the course route if I know it. You know, what am I going to do on certain parts of the route? How am I going to attack it? And then this can go for, you know, normal life too. I have been really lucky since I started my Instagram. I actually got a few jobs managing other social media accounts. So I get to create content for them. I get to, you know, do some monitoring and interacting with customers. But I think like content creation is similar. Like, what do I want this to look like? How am I going to execute? Yeah. So let's see, for goal setting. Well, I mean, there's visualize, I set goals. You know, I have marathons coming up and there's always my training plan, constant feedback, like my race on Saturday is going to be a checkpoint to see where I'm at.
Okay.
I think learning constantly every single day, you know, finding something to learn and be excited about is great. And even Google is good for that. Like, I'll think of a good example in a second, but, you know, I'll become fixated on something and want to learn more. And I do think that working in different areas, you know, helps with that because there'll be things I'm not exposed to. I mean, I do try and be.
I want to ask you about your visualization because I'm a big believer in that as well. I truly believe, you know, it's you seeing something happen. It's, you know, whether you want to call it manifestation or whatever, I think it just it's a modeling. It's self-modeling, and it helps with your neurological aspect towards anything. What does that look like for you? Is it during meditation? Is it a breathing exercise? What does that protocol actually look like?
Well, I have done a lot of reading about this and there's so many different methods to do it. And so I try and vary it actually. So, before bed, I will go over things that I want to accomplish or see myself doing. Oh, and actually I wanted to just bring up, if you can't see yourself doing something, it's not going to happen. So, you know, you have to believe that you are going to do this and you need to know what it is that you want. Otherwise you'll just be flailing out in the middle of nowhere. Before bed, I write lists, and I'll give myself timelines for things that need to be done. And you know, that goes back to like setting a SMART goal, but in the same, you know, it's the same type of thing. In meditation, and actually because I spend so much time running, it's a really great time for me to think. So I will replay anything. Like this morning I, went for a run, and I was visualizing, you know, my whole plan for my race on Saturday. Okay. And, you know, I could see myself executing.
Right. Right. Okay. Now I want to talk about tennis a little bit. So I have grown up a tennis fan. I played tennis when I was younger. I was never very good, but I played. And so I wanted to ask you, have you happened to have read Andre Agassi's autobiography?
Oh yes. I love it.
Holy cow. That was the second book I did in my book review and it is so phenomenal. So, all right. So what era was it that you really started paying attention to tennis and who were your favorite players?
That one. Sampras. Okay. I loved Sampras. Yes. And you know what? I love Federer too, because they have the same temperament as me, where it's just calm and collected. Yep. I really can't stand like the whole, I mean, I know that it's entertaining for people and it will get people to watch tennis, but I don't like that. arguing and screaming.
Right. Well, and I'll tell you, and I'm probably going to, you know, for any tennis players that are out there. Okay. So personally, I don't know him obviously, but I think Nadal is an awesome, awesome human being by every account.
Did you read his book?
No, I haven't. I want to, because no good. Really? Okay. I'm glad you told me, because I had that one on the list. All right. So see, here's my deal with Nadal. When he came along, I was like, okay, there's just too much theatrics here. I'm not into the over. I mean, like, I grew up, you know, I'm older than you, I'm sure, but I grew up during the era of, I was a little kid, but McEnroe and Connors, I can remember them in my really younger years. And so McEnroe. Connors was just a jackass, but, you know, people loved him because he was scrappy. But then I gravitated towards the same as you, like Sampras. I loved. Now, supposedly, personally, he, you know, according to, you know, the book, he's just kind of a boring dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like he's almost robotic. But Agassi was my guy back whenever I was probably high school. You know, that's, you know, that kind of era. And you know, it's just it's weird to me that we don't have anybody right now that, and maybe it's just because I just haven't been paying attention, but I miss those guys. I mean, you know, Federer, my gosh, he's kind of like tennis's version of Tom Brady. The guy just seems to keep freaking going. Well, that's cool. And so was that something that you, did your parents play tennis? Did you have family, or is it just something you just kind of happenstance?
When I was really young, I was trying different sports and, I kept like quitting. Mm-hmm. And so my parents said I had to do something. So I stuck with tennis. And there was a lot of times I didn't really want to do it, but then I was decent. So I kept playing. I loved doing it in college. You know, our team was tight knit. It was very fun. Right. I never expected to be, you know, teaching. Right. But here I am. There's not a lot of courts in New York. There's some public courts like in Central Park and along the west side. I teach at a club. It has two indoor courts. And then there's a another one from the same owner that has 8 red clay. But yeah, I mean, right now we're not as busy as pre-pandemic, but a lot of people are also in the Hamptons.
All right. So
it's interesting because where you are, everyone is playing tennis.
And actually,
I mean, it's like a huge sport.
And it's weird. I happen to live in, it's a small East Texas town of 100,000 people, but tennis is huge here. I mean, I live in we have a country club like right across the street almost, and a lot of tennis courts. I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, the leagues here, I mean, tennis is really important out here in East Texas. Of course, we've got, you know, you can almost play year round here outside, which makes a huge, huge difference for us. Okay. So now I want to ask you about this whole idea of, okay, so you went to Pratt, so you've obviously had an artistic bent. And this is for the listener, because I'm always trying to encourage people to find, just because you're not going to, you wanted to be an artist, and for some reason, whatever, you know, let's just say that whoever, the rhetorical person out there, they wanted to paint, but they can't figure out how to monetize that or whatever. It doesn't mean you can't be a creative. So do you feel some of that you in this, like I said, it's an amazing time to be out and be able to just create and get an audience without having to ask permission of all the gatekeepers. You just kind of get to go, and it's so awesome, and you've done that. So have you felt that, you know, from your, obviously you have a creative bent, I mean, ending up at Pratt, I mean, my God, and then to what you're doing now, have you felt that? And did you make a determination? It's like, hey, I still want to feed this artistic side in this sort of way.
Yeah. So actually that reminds me of another book that I think is amazing, The Artist's Way. I don't know if you've talked about it on your show, but it would be pretty appropriate. I read it in college, and it is about if you have a creative block. So if you want to be creative and need a little push, and I don't agree with everything in the book, but like one big, well, there's two things that I'm going to bring up today. One is morning pages. So every morning, and I do this still, you write 3 stream of consciousness pages, and it just gets everything out. You can write about whatever you want to. You can throw it away if you want to, or, you know, sometimes I just use it as ideas I have, but it just sets your mind, you know, free, open, and you can start thinking about other things. And I've found that so useful. And then the other part that I thought was great is she has exercises through this book. So the other part was having an artist date. And so you can do something, maybe go to an art supply store if you're a painter and go get yourself some paint or see what they have. Go to a museum, do something that inspires you. And maybe if you're super stressed out and, you know, just overwhelmed, like take a bath. It doesn't have to be, but you know, hopefully it will be art related, but just something to get yourself in a mode where you feel like you can be creative. And when I first started my Instagram, I was thinking, okay, this is a way that I'm writing something every day. I'm taking a picture every day. Now I don't feel as much like I feel more like I'm in advertising than I'm being creative in the way that I want to. And that is actually one thing that I struggle with. I should be making more art because it's one of the most enjoyable things for me. But you know, I can work on it.
Well, but I think you said something very important there. Is a lot of people, let's face it, I mean, God, this is the day and age of everybody's famous, and if they're not, they want to be and think they can, whatever. And so many people, here's a great example. So I was speaking to some undergrads about business and entrepreneurship, and this girl asks me about, well, you know, we always hear about, you know, these entrepreneurs having these $50 million exits, these $100 million exits, you know, how do you do that? And I told her, I said, well, let me explain something to you. If you go into any business with the idea that you're going to have a $100 million exit and that's the focus, you will probably fail miserably. And it's the same thing with these folks that they think, I just need to have 100,000 followers on Instagram and then I will have made it. So I'm going to do whatever I tell you. So if the followers, if that's the key, it seems like they're going to fail. And you proved that because you, it's almost like, well, hell, now I've got all these followers, and so I have people wanting me to use my art for a commercial enterprise. But it started with the art. It started with you doing something you loved and you thought it would be fun. And then the other stuff just kind of happens. And, man, you know, I've got two daughters that are, you know, one's starting her third year in school at the University of Colorado. The other's at Alabama finishing up. She's got one more year. And I tell them the same thing. I'm like, focus on something that, yes, has utility value and brings value to as many people as possible, but make sure it's something that you believe in, you actually enjoy doing, and you would be willing to do whether you were getting paid or not. And it sounds like that's kind of what you did, and you approached it with that focus. So, and it worked. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. And most of the time, I'm going to say 90% of the time, I really enjoy what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So I know that that's great, because, you know, there's always a time when we don't want to do or don't love doing something.
Right, right.
So, I always know I can always fall back to doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
All right. As long as I do enjoy it.
All right. I want to talk food. So okay. I don't think I've ever seen anything on your posts about a place that was just like really crappy. So have you ever had something that was really bad and you, I mean, or do you report, have I just missed that? Or
so, when I first started, I would, you know, put it down, you know, at the bottom of my caption.
Okay. Okay.
About something bad. I have had, people, you know, say, why don't you come back and, you know, you could try it again. But, you know, most of the time it's because it's quite bad and I don't want to go back. I did start rethinking this over the pandemic because I know that so many places are struggling. Mm-hmm. So if I go somewhere bad, now I don't post it.
Okay.
Or what I'll do, like I did last month, I had like a photo dump of pictures that were pretty and I just didn't say anything about them. Yeah. But it was, you know, there was some food in there that wasn't right. Excellent.
Right, right, right. So how do you decide now where to go?
Ooh, well, places me. So I will go to those. There's places that I just love. Like my favorite pizza in New York is Mama's Two. It is on Broadway and 106th.
Okay.
So I went to... and I keep spreadsheets of most things, although I'm not as good anymore. So when you do visit, you know, I'm happy to share them. I've shared them with other followers too. So awesome. I have, you know, like a pizza spreadsheet, a donut spreadsheet, a cookie spreadsheet. Anyway, I went to Milano Market, which is also amazing. Yeah. They have gigantic sandwiches, but I went there a day ago and I can't believe I'm going to confess this, but I got my sandwich. I ate a little bit. You know, got it wrapped up to go. And then I went, because it was only five blocks away, to Mama's Two and ate pizza because it's
That's
so
awesome.
Good. But I'm on the east side, so I'm not on the upper west side very much. And it's not that bad to run to. It's 3 miles for me. But, you know, when I'm up there, I need to get that pizza. City Cakes is my favorite bakery.
Yeah.
And the owners are amazing. So typically, you know, I'll go there if there's something new. I don't miss it. I've had fun since the start of the pandemic at Dominique Ansel, because before their Cronut line would be like around the block and I don't do lines.
Yeah.
That's one of my, I just don't want to spend the time. Now there's no line. So every month I've been trying the Cronuts, and I would say that only like 20% of the time I really like them, but it's
really?
Also one of those things that, yeah, it's like, you have to try a Cronut. There's
yeah.
nothing else
I've tried.
Like it.
I'm always too late. I've tried. You stand in the line. Now everything else has been fantastic as well, but I've yet to all the times we've been. And is it true? Is that the actual handball court that's featured in the movie Big? That's right beside there.
Oh, you know what? I don't know.
I heard
it probably is.
Okay. I heard that recently. Oh. I've stood there all those times. I was like, oh my, cause I love the movie Big. I was like, oh my gosh, really? So I needed you to confirm that for me. So let's do some research.
I'll look it up.
If you say it's true, I believe.
Well, the good news is still no line at Dominique Ansel.
Okay.
So next time you're here, you should be good. Or you can tell me, because when I go, I usually go at like 8 a.m. So right when
awesome.
It opens.
Awesome. I will
so they never run out. You can pre-order too, but like, I like the whole process.
Of course.
Let's see, other places. Levain cookies are amazing, and they've expanded. Now you can get them at Whole Foods. So I haven't tried the frozen ones yet.
Okay.
But you know, that might be good for you since you're not in New York. Get a little taste.
Exactly.
So the other thing I do is if I'm planning a run somewhere, basically people like tease me because, like my friend was in town from Michigan and was staying, you know, downtown. And I was like, oh, there's, you know, a bakery a block from you and they pour chocolate all over the cookies. Or you can go to, basically my head is just a map of bakeries.
Right.
But you know, if I have to go somewhere, I can say, oh, okay, I'm in this neighborhood. I'm going to go stop at blah, blah, blah. So okay. That is the other part of this. But I typically go somewhere every single day.
So are they just wearing you out now? Are you getting like just DMs all the time? Hey, will you come eat here? Will you come try this? I mean, have you paid for
only a couple times a week?
Really?
Oh yeah. I pay for most, I would say, a lot of the stuff I do pay for, especially at bakeries, it's only a couple dollars and usually they're not willing. Like it's usually restaurants that want, a visit.
Sure. Sure. Okay. All right. So if I, so now of all the places, now I'm so excited about Mama's too, because we have, we haven't found our pizza place. And you know what, you'd probably like, we have our set restaurants where we're going to go every time. We felt we really have loved, like as far as dinner spots, especially sometimes we'll do something easy, like just go over to the food court at the plaza and just walk over to the park and sit on our bench.
Yeah.
And that's kind of our thing. But like, we have some restaurants we like, but we've never had any just killer pizza. So I'm all over Mama's too. I can't wait. But like if you, okay, so you had some Mama's too pizza, you want some dessert and there's just, this is one, you only have one more dessert before the next, I don't know, 3 months. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? And what are you going to get?
This is tough.
I bet. All the good stuff you get.
I mean, I feel like you need categories.
All right, let's say pastry and let's say chocolate. Pastry and chocolate.
Oh, chocolate. Okay. This is actually, that was easy. Chalk NYC. It's in Inwood.
Okay.
But it is, they hand make all the chocolate. Ooh. So I have been getting this too frequently. It's a caramelized croissant that is dipped in dark chocolate. And I put up a picture of it. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
It doesn't look like the prettiest thing, but it is incredible.
Okay.
And you can just, the quality is so high. Even my son, who, you know, he's little, he doesn't love like dark chocolate, but this, he's like, it's the best thing ever.
Awesome.
So with his, and he doesn't get excited about sweets like me. So his approval is like,
okay,
it's off the charts.
Awesome.
And everything there is amazing. Like the chocolate cake there is, you know, it's not the biggest slice, but it's so rich that, you know, you take a bite and you're like, oh, okay.
All right, cool.
There you go.
I'm in. And it's cool that I kind of just gravitated towards chocolate because I'm a chocoholic and I love chocolate croissants. So I'm all in on that. Okay. So where are you going to take this? I mean, is this just still kind of for fun and every once in a while it leads to some business opportunities? But I mean, my God, your spreadsheet that you have of all these places, I mean, you know, you realized almost by happenstance, you know, and of course I'm kind of a business junkie, a serial entrepreneur and all that. I see this, I go, oh my gosh, in the world of content, you have really hit on something magical. You've got something here. Do you have plans to do more, you know, more with it? Or are you just going to keep having fun and see what happens?
I don't know. It's been interesting lately because I keep getting more clients that, you know, are unrelated to what I'm doing.
Mm.
So it's almost like I'm becoming an afterthought with the amount of time that I have to spend. I've thought about starting a blog I don't know if a book would be of interest. I've seen things like there's pamphlets that are sold of New York pizza places, you know, but that's very touristy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a good idea, let me know. Oh. I work very hard.
Okay. Well, let me tell you. So it just so happens I'm a business coach and this is like right in my wheelhouse. And this is what I would do if I were you, I would start the blog for sure. And New York City Muncher is just, that's, I don't know if you bought that domain, but if you haven't, you need to jump all over that. And if you don't, I will. I'll secure it. I won't charge you for it. But I was like, here, Simone, I got it. I would start the blog and I would go through your spreadsheet and I would categorize it like you've already done. And with each blog, maybe you do like a series of pastry, ice cream, pizza, whatever the case may be, and really flush out those blog posts. They don't have to be that long. And then the blog posts eventually become the book. And then I can envision your book having you, one of your posts on the front, and it tells the story. I mean, the book tells the story of how it started, how your health and wellness, Pratt, and then just almost, you wanted to run. I mean, because that's the thing, it has two, but you're unique in that it's not just, hey, cool place. I mean, I've got one of those books downstairs. Hey, where to eat in New York? You're right. I mean, that's just some Condé Nast, churned out, boom, there you go.
Yeah.
Really focus on your story of origin. I think it's interesting, especially at the time we're in with content creation and Instagram, but then also you're probably going to be able to focus on places that the guy like me, I need someone like you I can trust that is going to tell me the places that are not, because they're not going to be on the Food Network. Diners, Dive-Ins, and Dives may have found it, but probably not. So if I go to the New York City Muncher, I'm going to go find some stuff that's really cool. I'm going to know the location of it. I'm going to know all the little stuff too. What's the line like? When do I get there and not have to wait? So that's what I would do. I would absolutely jump on that blog. I think that because it's food, it's New York, and you're healthy, but you're also giving permission in a healthy way of, hey, as long as you don't overindulge, you can have some really incredible culinary delights. Just make sure that this, maybe you run from your hotel to the bakery. But that's what I would do. I would start with the blog and with the mindset, every time you do an entry, store it away in your mind that, okay, eventually we'll compile this into a book, and it's not that hard. You could self-publish. You could do it on Amazon, no problem. I've actually got a friend of mine who manages Amazon stores. He's actually managed the Ben Greenfield's book that I have right here, Boundless. He actually was the project manager for that book, kind of coordinating, keeping everybody on task, and then getting the thing out and published. So that's what I would do. I think you've got a freaking home run. And it's hard. It's hard to find something to stand out in all this noise, but I think you've done it. And so if you decide to go that route, I will be happy to just, if nothing else, just to be an encourager to say, hey, Simone, I want to see the blog. This is cool.
Okay, I'll do it. No problem.
Very, very good. So on your vision.
Start tomorrow.
There you go.
Or today.
Tonight, it needs to be on your vision list. I want you to give yourself a deadline. So let's talk a little bit more about books. Did you encourage your son? I mean, seriously, for those who can't see, you have a massive bookshelf behind you tucked with books. So are you a voracious reader as well? And that kind of your son has adopted that from you. And if so,
I like reading biographies the most, which is sort of funny. I love reading about athletes. Mm-hmm. I think reading is so important. My dad was an English teacher, so that was probably, where it comes from. Mm-hmm. Growing up, I remember summer vacation, I would just have a stack of books by my bed, and some days I would just read instead of going outside. Yep. And when my son was little, people would want to get presents, and I would say, the only thing I would like are books. So clearly we have a lot. And he loves to read, and it's been interesting, with the pandemic, because New York public libraries, now allow you to do digital checkout. So he's been able to just, get a book automatically and constantly read. I need to read more. I definitely don't do it. I used to try and read at least a book a week. I am not doing that now. But after talking to you, I think that's going to be one of my goals too.
Awesome.
How about you? What are you reading this week?
So right now I'm finishing up Time Rich. Great book. And also I should have had this up. Gary Levinsky is, I know I'm pronouncing his name wrong. I got to get you the name, because this is a great, great book. It is, and it's basically about organizing your work, your business, your life, so that you're focused more on doing exactly what you're doing, the things you love and that you can find passion in. And, we all have to eat. So in a way, find a way to monetize it, but also, you know, just being more strategic in the things that you take on. Steve Glaveski, that's it, Steve Glaveski, and he's also the host of the Future Squared podcast. It is that's his podcast. So Time Rich is the book I'm finishing up this week, and through the book I discovered his podcast, and it is fantastic. The book that I just finished, and this is kind of cool. So I just finished Big Little Breakthroughs by Josh Linkner, and there's a guy in New York, I think he's over on the east side, Cas Marte, who was a former, he was a former drug kingpin that was featured in the book, Big Little Breakthroughs, and he ended up, when he was in prison, the doctors told him, you're going to die young if you don't get well and start getting healthy. So while he's in prison, he starts taking care of himself. He ends up leading 20 fellow inmates to lose a combined 1,000 pounds. And then after he gets out, he starts a business called ConBody. So he now has
I've done ConBody. I probably met the guy because they were filming a documentary. Yes, now this is all ringing a bell. I was actually wondering if it was still, in business because pre-pandemic, they had like a whole other location. I think it was like out of Bloomingdale's in Midtown. Anyway, when I went, they were filming a documentary. So I met everyone. It was fun. And it's all body weight workout. So.
Yeah. Well, Cas is actually going to be, I interviewed him earlier this week, so he's going to be on the podcast, and he's featured in that book as one of those. So Big Little Breakthroughs, but I'm like you, I like either biographies. And so my deal was, I'm trying to sprinkle some more fiction in, and here, I just happen to have it right here. If you want just a good, fun read, The Rosie Project is so good. It's so good. It's by Graham Simsion, and my youngest daughter recommended it to me. If you like rom-coms that are funny, this one is freaking awesome. I mean, you can crush it in like 3 or 4 days. But that's the most recent fiction I've read. But I'm like you. I love biographies. I like to read about people that have done remarkable things and kind of look for the commonalities. What have they done that I can apply? And just it's just inspiring. I just want to hear about cool stories of people that have done. So that's kind of it. And then I think – next week's book after Time Rich is probably going to be Deep Work by Cal Newport, because one of my biggest challenges is to really focus deep on whether it's right. Because I've actually got a book I'm finishing up that I hope to have published by the end of the year. And then the podcast, it's just really hard for me to just stay on one thing and find that flow state and nail it. I end up doing a lot of shallow work, you know, so that's probably going to be the next one. So that's it. So, all right. So now, beyond running all over New York and eating at some of those amazing places, and now we've got you starting a blog, and then you're going to write a book, and then we'll work on the TV show after that.
Okay. So, I mean, I've already started doing more videos on TikTok. So, you know, that's the start.
Yeah. So here's what I would like for you to tell this audience, because I'm trying to get my daughters and some of their friends who are going to enter this new world that did not exist whenever I finished undergrad, of being able to, like we talked about earlier, get through, go just bypass the gatekeepers and go straight to the market if they want to be a content creator. Over the last, take me on the timeline, remind me exactly how long from the time you decided to start your Instagram and have some fun with it to now, what are some of the best lessons learned through the process?
Okay. Do it every day.
Consistency.
Okay. Consistency. And that is the key for life, you know, running anything you want to be good at, do it. Yesterday I gave one of my clients some advice, which is not everything is going to be successful. Just put it out there and you might be surprised, or, you know, you'll learn something doesn't work. Don't have fear that something is going to fail. Because most things are going to be mediocre. It's like any great piece of artwork. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be 1 out of 100.
Right.
Let's see. Other takeaways. Try and be positive and have fun. If something is torture for you, don't do it. Mm. You know, you can find so many different paths on social media find something that you enjoy. If you like making videos, do it. If you want to be focused on, you know, being a outdoor photographer, just keep practicing and put it out there.
Yeah. I think
that I'm sure there's like 100 other things.
No, I know you said something because it speaks to me directly. And that is that, first of all, if you wait till you're ready, then you'll be waiting forever. And social media, it's hard because it throws you out there into a position which you feel like everybody's going to judge you immediately. I mean, that's the way I did with my YouTube channel. And even this podcast, when I started it 2.5 years ago, it was like I told my publisher, or my editor rather, I was like, all right, I want to update and re-release my first book, and I need to build an audience for it. And I think I'm going to do a podcast. And I had never done a podcast. And I was like, man, you know, some of these first episodes are going to really suck. And same thing with the YouTube channel. Who wants to listen to book reviews? They're going to suck. And I'm not that good at that. But what you find is it's like you must know whenever you're trying to teach someone a topspin, putting in the reps, you know, that it's putting in the reps. And I read a really cool story about this guy. He comes upon I guess it was a lumberjack, and he's you know, taking a strike at this huge tree, stroke after stroke after stroke. The tree is not moving. Then there's this huge indention in the tree, and he's still just going at it. The tree's not moving. And then so this other guy, he's sitting there, he's watching, and finally the lumberjack makes one last, you know, blow at the tree. And with that, the cracking starts and the tree falls. And so the guy that's watching, this lumberjack, he said, wow, so that was the most important blow. And he said, absolutely not. It was all the ones that came before it that were the most important ones. And not one was more important than the other. It's all those reps compounded that lead to finally getting that tree to fall. And that's the way I am with this podcast. It's like, I am going to, and if you look, and I'm so glad you bring this up, because that does seem to be something that comes up over and over and over. Gary Vaynerchuk preaches it all the time. Consistency, always be there, always be there. And if you look at Joe Rogan, Tim Ferriss, some of the other, you know, TikTokers and Instagrammers that have really blown up, to really get out there, it may take 10 years. And I think not having a, you know, and realizing that just don't stop. It's just continuing to go is kind of the key. And so I think that that's probably the best advice you could have given, Simone, is the consistency. I love that. I love that. All right.
Yeah, I think a lot of people want perfection, and, you know, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. And people are
it's better
more
to just put it out.
Right. And people are a lot more forgiving. I mean, I think that, you know, it's kind of like whenever people are like, oh, what are they saying about me? What are they saying? You know, we kind of flatter ourselves a lot. Most people aren't thinking about us as much as we think they are.
No, not at all.
And on social media, the thing is, if you post something that's really cool and it really jumps, it's not like they're going to go, oh my God, this is amazing. But remember 2 months ago, that horrible thing they posted? They don't even remember that ever existed.
No.
Right? So good advice. Well, Simone, this has been a blast. I knew that it'd be fun to talk to you. And I'm serious. If there is anything I can do to help you with getting the blog started, I mean, I do. I think you've got a home run. That's why I asked you on. I mean, I have watched from the early stages and gone, this is cool. I told my wife last night, I said, I'm so excited to have Simone on, because she has really executed what a lot of the Gary Vaynerchuks and these people that are just blowing up and that are, you know, world famous now, she's actually executed it. You can tell she's combined all these kind of interesting things. She's brought them to an intersection, which is odd. Junk food, ultra marathon, social media. And who knew that would be the thing that gets your following? But you've done it, and so kudos. Anything I can do to help keep pushing
Thank
that,
you.
I'm gonna do it.
Thank you.
You bet. And the next time I go to New York, I'm probably going to be asking for your spreadsheet. And I think I've actually,
we can go run. We'll go eat.
I would love to do that. Now, I don't know if I can keep up with you. I'm more of a sprinter. I'm more of a short twitch guy versus, but I can. I mean, I'm a Pelotoner. I don't run as much, but
okay.
I crush probably Peloton.
Who's your favorite instructor?
Matt Wilbers. Matt.
Love Same. Him. Did we talk about this before?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, love Matt. I need to get your, I don't think I have your leaderboard name. I need to find that, but.
Well, that's because I did 500 classes all in the studio, and then I stopped.
Oh, I've actually, I've actually been to the studio twice, and so my youngest and I, we both got to ride with Matt, and so I got to meet him, and he and I, now we're in communication. Such a cool guy, and I'm just, I love the Power Zone rides. I mean, they,
yes, same.
And I actually lead, you gotta get back on so that you can then become, get into the Power Zone challenges, because I always lead a class every, or lead a team every mm-hmm. Power Zone challenge. So you got to get on there.
I was in the Facebook group. Are you on there?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been paying attention. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm there. It's funny.
Fine.
It's funny. My wife got my Peloton for me about 3 years ago, and I'm about to hit my 1,000th ride in less than 3 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, thanks. But it just shows you I'm probably a little more obsessive about my Peloton than I should be. I used to get on here and talk about my Peloton almost every episode, and I think people got sick of it. So I try to – and I'm that horribly obnoxious Peloton guy that I will post my graphs, and a bunch of people that see it that don't even have a Peloton are like, oh, really?
So, yeah. But people are like that with any exercise.
That's true.
That's why I try and combine things, because then it makes it more interesting.
It does. It does. Even if you're strapping a fork to a dumbbell, like I have seen you do, whatever it takes.
Exactly.
Whatever it takes. All right. Well, Simone, thank you so much for this. Sit tight. I'll say goodbye to you after I stop the recording. And thanks for being here.
Well, that does it for this episode of The Jason Wright Show. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a Texas Titan Media production. Fourth Wall did the music. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Please consider going out to jasonwrightnow.com and signing up for the Vitruvian Letter. Also, please go out to iTunes. It takes like 30 seconds to just leave us a 5-star rating. It does wonders for the podcast. I would be so grateful. And with that, until we meet again, go crush it and endeavor to improve always in all ways. I'm out.